First of all, we should understand the philosophy of the natural disaster on a larger canvas. The natural disaster, as understood by human beings, is just an incomplete story. The true story reaches far behind in history. The true story, in fact, is stretched to millions of years of man's evolution in various stages. And when you try to understand the philosophy of these disasters, as you call them, then you understand that they are not useless and meaningless. They have played a very important role in the history of human development, or the development of life. And they have been blessings in disguise as far as the progress goes. So, whether you understand a local disaster in the context of human values or not, if you look back in the history of evolution of life, you can understand easily that these disasters are a part of a general scheme of things under which the whole life is created. And they have played their part, and they are not meaningless. So for the sake of a larger interest, smaller individual interests are always sacrificed. This is the principle. So because these disasters play an important role in the scheme of things, that is the scheme of evolution of life and progress of life, so they cannot be just discarded as meaningless because, or cruel, because some individuals suffer. The general philosophy behind these disasters could also be understood when you study the phenomena of life and death as pitched against each other. In fact, as far as the number goes, death predominates life. And at each step in life, millions and millions of individuals are sacrificed. For each childbirth, billions of potentials of life are sacrificed. And again, in the entire universe, you see millions of species, an untold number of individuals in various forms, the various living forms. And what is their ultimate purpose? If you understand the scheme of things, they are made to serve human beings. And they only play a role to ultimately serve the ecology which is required by human development. And all this is a part of the scheme, so number is sacrificed for the sake of quality, that is, in essence, the meaning. So if billions upon billions of lives are sacrificed for human beings because they are superior, so if qualities are to be added to them, or qualities of human beings are to be tested, put to test, some of their sacrifices are quite justified for that grand scheme of things. Now this is the general purpose and the general phenomena, as I understand. But apart from that, when you apply this situation of disasters to human contexts, then you will understand that every disaster was avoidable, or at least could be mitigated to a very great degree, if human beings were moral animals, and the standard of morality and humanity was up to the mark which is attempted to be created by every religion. So because human beings lost their purpose, lost their direction and bearing, so after all this, billions of years of service to mankind and to all that has gone into their creation, is a different question. Do they deserve all this, or do they deserve to be wiped out? The answer if you look at everything which God has done for the creation of mankind, would be that if after all this, mankind has lost the purpose of creation and it has become more emissive in nature than human, then if the entire mankind is wiped out, it is justified. You behave exactly in the same manner in your own creation, don't you? If you want to paint and try to draw the picture of a man, and instead a monkey is formed, as usually children do, they try to make a cow and instead a snake is created. No, there are such differences in the creation of poor artists. But sometimes it's the fault of the creation. It is properly made and it gets this deformed. What do you do with that? You wipe out whatever you have created. So, Allah has every right to wipe out all humanity if humanity does not serve the purpose of its creation. So these small droughts are only very small punishment, out of all proportions small, only to shake us up to what we truly deserve. This is why the Holy Quran tells us that if Allah had punished human beings for what they do, Allah would not have left any dabba on earth. You remember the word?
Bima kasabu.
The second part I think is not correct, eh? Something like that. So better consult the Holy Quran. This is in there. Law you are to law nasa remarkasab.
It's not.
Remarkasab. So the philosophy given by the Holy Quran is this, that if Allah had decided to punish human beings for what they have committed, Allah would have wiped out the whole life from us. Apparently, there is a dilemma, because crime is committed by human beings and poor animals are wiped out for nothing, as if. But when you follow what I've said, then this verse is very clear in its meaning. And there is no other meaning attributable to it than what I have already said. That the purpose of the creation of other species of life their creation in itself. They were created for mankind. So if man loses justification, all that was created to serve him should go out along with him, overboard. Nothing should be left. This is exactly what the Holy Quran says.
As we
Read it in the microphone so that it is recorded. وَلَوْ يُعَاقِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ
سُرْنَحَلَ وَلَوْ يُعَاقِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِن دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُّسَمًّى.
Which verse?
Sir, it is Surah Nahl and 62. Ayah 62 of Nahl.
The meaning is that if Allah were to bring to birth mankind for their transgression, Allah would not have left any species of life on earth. So the punishment is meted out for mankind, and what is wiped out? Every species of life. So it holds only good in the explanation which I have given already. That the creation, the purpose of their creation was to serve mankind. So when the mankind ceases to deserve that mastery over the rest of the creation would go along.